Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministry. And this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We want you to know that this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Mm-hmm. As we go forward, we're looking at some wonderful things that God is doing in our midst and doing for us. And I am excited that he loved us enough to trust us with this opportunity, this assignment, amen, to minister the Word of God to you. But before we go any further, amen, in what we're going to do today, we want to turn it over to Prophetess Crystal so that she may give us our morning, well, not our morning, but give us our announcement, amen, and lead us in prayer. Prophetess.
Amen. God bless you, everyone. Once again, welcome to our show, Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. This evening's announcements are as follows. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join Apostle Christopher McQueen and myself for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. Every Thursday at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. And you can hear every broadcast we have live at www.ctkr.org. As you visit our website, we do ask that you will become a prayer partner and a vision partner with this ministry, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. As you're also visiting our website, as you get to learn more about us, if you would like any information, if you would like to invite Apostle McQueen and myself to any ministerial engagements, or you just need someone to touch and agree with you in prayer, on our webpage, go to the contact page, go halfway down, follow the instructions, put the information in, and someone will contact you within 12 to 24 hours. Amen and amen. Those are the announcements. But I do also want to tell you that we have a Facebook page, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, as well as WOPD, also known as Women of Prophetic Destiny. Go to our Facebook pages, like us, give us a shout out, let us know what God is doing in your life. Amen. And how this broadcast is blessing you also. Those are the announcements for this evening. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, God, we thank you. We praise you, we magnify you, and we glorify you. I lift you up this evening. I bless your holy name. You are the righteous one. You are the holy one. Beside you, there is no other God. You are the great God. You are the great I am. You are El Shaddai and Elohim. Father, as we, your people, come before you this evening, bowing before your throne, humbling ourselves, God, we first of all ask for forgiveness, that you would just wash us, Father, cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness, every sin of omission and commission. Cleanse us in your blood. Wash us with the word in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, even now as we go forth and hear your word, Father, let us no longer just be the hearers, but let us also begin the doers. Help us to operate and walk out in faith and walk out in obedience to your word. and your will for our lives in the name of Jesus. God, bring us closer to you as never before. Put prayer down on the inside of us, God. Give us a spirit of obedience. Give us a will to do your will. We do say yes again to your purpose and your plan for our lives, God. We thank you, we praise you, and we glorify you this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you for that, prayer and those announcements. I want us to be mindful of those things. God is doing so much in our hearing, in our lives, we cannot afford, amen, to miss out on what God is doing. Simply put, when God sends assignments throughout the land, he gives them to the leaders, just like an army, amen. You'll get those who are subordinates or who will get commands from their superiors or from their commanders, if you will. Let me use that word because I don't want you to think that you're a subordinate, amen. There's church leadership, amen. And then there are those who actually follow and obey those who are in charge as given by God, knowing that there's no authority given except by him, amen. But when we are attentive to the assignment that God has given, God doesn't give commandments from the bottom up. He gives it from the top down, yes. Amen. And that means that when we start to hear the battle cry, we start to hear the rally calls, amen. Instead of us sitting back trying to figure out who called and who they think they are, we need to hear the voice of the Lord and get in line and get in step, amen. Because when the enemy is trying to come through, he has an agenda that he's trying to fulfill. And we have to be wise enough, amen, in the body of Christ to know that there's an enemy out there who means you no good, amen. And we're talking about Satan himself, amen. And as he comes in, he's going to do everything that he can to destroy, amen. The Bible lets us know that Satan goes throughout the earth, and all he's doing is looking to see who he may kill and destroy, amen.
Yes,
but if we are the body of Christ, then we should know that this is something that God has given us, and that is that we have the victory, amen. And if we have the victory, then we should be able to go forward and do those things that God has called us to do, amen.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight I want to go into a passage of scripture, and we're starting a new series, if you will, on tonight. And it simply is, know your authority in faith. Amen?
Amen.
You got to know in this day and this time your authority, huh? But you have to know it in faith. Notice something when I say in faith. I'm talking about the fact that there are some things that you cannot do unless you fully believe, amen, that God is able to do it.
Amen.
Amen. And those are the things that we want to look at, we want to understand, because we know that when we're dealing with these things, then God will give us the victory. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. First of all, let's go ahead and go to Matthew, the 8th chapter. We're going to start the 15th verse. The 5th verse. We're going to go down to the 13th verse. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version as we do so. And it simply says this. It says, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I am also a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom, listen to this, will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, and as you have believed," listen to that, "so let it be done for you." Right. And his servant was healed that same hour. Amen. The Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Listen, we have to really get into this and start to see what's going on here. One of the main things that the enemy has been trying to do is he's been trying to destroy your faith in your authority.
Mm-hmm.
If he can do so, then you'll stop using your authority. And when you stop using your authority, then you stop having victory.
Mm.
See, we've been talking about, and I don't know if you all have been saying this, but we've been saying this. What are the signs, the miracles, the wonders? And when we say that, we don't say it because we don't see it. But we don't see it as a regular manifestation. It should be a regular occurrence that miracles, signs, and wonders occur. Amen? It shouldn't be something that was something that happened for this time here. But we ain't seen it since, you know. No, something's the matter with that. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for the day, the time when we can see and understand that God has called his people for a purpose. Amen. We understand that purpose. We say amen to it.
Yes.
We have rolled up our sleeves. We have gotten on the right gear. We got on the right clothing, and we're in the ditches. We're in the trenches. Whatever it takes, we're going forward. Amen. We're going to obtain a victory. Amen. We know what the battle cry is. We know what the agenda is, and we won't back down. We won't be silent. We won't sit down here and wait on somebody else to do it. If nobody runs towards the hill to take it, surely I will. And listen, let me tell you this right here, because sometimes we begin to speak like this and it sounds like we're trying to stir you up. But really, let me tell you, we are. Because we've been dormant too long.
Yes.
You've been trusting in everybody's personal opinion of what you can do or what you are able to do or what your abilities are, and you have backed off of the word of God. You have backed off of the assignment that God has given, and the enemy is sitting back over there in the corner looking at us saying, "Y'all ain't going to do nothing. You're not going to become nothing. You'll never achieve your objective because you are not focused on your kingdom assignment."
Mm.
He's placated us with all kinds of things. We've been running after stuff for a while. How many churches and how many members of churches have been running after things, giving an offering, trying to sow into your destiny, talking about the Lord is going to bless me with this car, bless me with this house. When have you sowed into your destiny so that the Lord could give you more faith in your authority? When have you done things that built your faith up? Huh? See, when we see something, it don't look like it could come to pass. We don't even try it, you know, because we don't want to fail. And let me say this. You've got to get over the fear of failure. No. Sorry. Let me say it right. You got to get over the fear of success. Amen?
Amen.
Huh? Why haven't you tried it? Well, you know, they've been trying. We said we go. Really, the real issue here is you're afraid to succeed. Because if you succeed, then you have to maintain a level.
Right.
You see that? And you don't want to have to work for it. So you say, that, well, I ain't trying to work and do all of that. The best thing to do is not to succeed at all. so I can sit back, let somebody else do it, and God is still going to, you know, bless me because I'm going to serve him. But from what I have in my tithes and my offering, I'm going to give that. I'm going to do what I can do. I'm coming to church. I'm on the usher board. I'm going to be on a praise team. I'm going to do whatever they're asking me. I'm on a kitchen committee. I'm on a cleanup committee. I'm on a hospitality committee. But yet and still, you're afraid to succeed. See, you can hide as much as you want, but the devil knows who you are. Amen? So it brings us then down to this here passage here, this centurion servant. First of all, we have to understand a couple of things in this passage. First of all, and that is that this centurion was not a Jew.
Right.
He had no right to ask Jesus for what he asked him. But gang recognizes gang. You understand? He understood authority when he saw. He saw how Jesus commanded a sickness to leave and demons to be cast out. He saw how Jesus was walking and recognized that he was a man of authority. We understand that because he states so in the ninth verse.
Yes, yes, yes.
You see this? Huh? But before he even says that, he already recognized who he was. He was not a Jew. The Bible says here in the 7th verse, and Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. In other words, Jesus doesn't have an apprehension with dealing with your shortcoming, your deficiency, your fault, your self, security. Insecurities, amen. He doesn't have a problem dealing with that. We have a problem with Jesus dealing with that. For too long, you've been walking around as the victim. Your whole persona has been drawn up and set up on a victim's mentality. You can't think of yourself as the victor because you've always pictured yourself as the underdog. You see this? I'm talking to some people tonight. Amen. This is going to go far and wide. And I pray that the people who need to hear this actually hear this word. Amen. I trust the Holy Spirit is going to guide their ears to this message. Amen. You set yourself up as the underdog. It has been your persona. It has been the thing that has given you focus. It has given you your identity. And as people have gone forward and begin to try to strengthen you and tell you who you are in God, you have fought them tooth and nail trying to tell them who you are and how you don't qualify for anything that God has for you. Yet and still, in your time of trouble, in your time of need, Jesus says to you, just like he said to the centurion, I will come and heal him. In other words, I will come and deal with this situation. I will still move on your behalf. Regardless of what you think, I still will move for you. See, that you have to understand, he's not moving because you're so wonderful and you're so great. He's doing everything that he's doing so that God will get the glory out of this situation.
Yes.
Amen. So then here we are. We're looking at this whole thing. We see it. The centurion saw what Jesus said. He heard him, and in the 8th verse, he speaks to him concerning who he is. I understand who you are, or else I would not have come to you. I understand your level. I understand that you are great, and you do what you do well. I understand all of that. But before you bring yourself under my sinful roof, let me tell you who I am. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. In other words, there are some things in my life that I know don't qualify me to ask you to do this. I know there's some things in my life, some lifestyles that I have, some proclivities that I have that will disqualify me if you should come around me and really see who I am. But I don't want you to do that because I really need this to happen. So don't even bother with coming over here. But I know that you have a word. How many times have people come to us, amen, and said, listen, we don't come to your church. We ain't going to no church, but we got a problem, man. I just need to know what to do here. I need somebody, you know, to help me with this decision. And they begin to speak towards those things. They begin to speak towards those issues, and they're waiting for us to give simply a word. What type of word? A word of instruction, a word of direction, a word of encouragement, a word of rebuke sometimes. And let me say something about that word of rebuke, because sometimes when it's time for people to have their hands slapped, for somebody to stand up and tell them that they know that ain't right, they're waiting on somebody who will stand up because, see, everybody who's messing up don't want to mess up.
Right.
Everybody who's in a tore up state don't want to be tore up in that state. Amen. Some people are waiting on somebody to come and help them to get it together, help them to get it right. I pray and I praise God for those who saw me messing up and said, now you know good and well, and came in and didn't leave me, amen, sitting over there clowning out and wilding out without challenging the God-given assignment that was on the inside of me, amen. They didn't leave me out there talking about, well, you know, he ain't going to listen, so I ain't saying nothing, amen.
Right.
Thank God that they didn't leave me there, amen. They understood their assignment, and they got down with the get down, amen. They came and told me when it was ugly. They came and told me when it stank. They came and told me when I didn't look right and when I wasn't doing it right. Amen. And let me say something else right there. And I said this before, my wife will attest to that, that, you know, when you aren't smelling all that fresh, you're a little tart, amen, or a little ripe, depending on how you want to say it, amen, before anybody else know it, you know it yourself. But what they need is not for you to talk about that, but for you to give them space and opportunity. You see me and I don't look right, I don't smell just right, instead of talking about me, let me go to the bathroom, make sure that there's some soap in there and something that I can, you know, hit the hot spots,
right,
get myself
right,
together,
right.
Amen. When I get home, I'll jump in the shower or take a bath, amen. But right now, I need some help. You're not helping me by talking about the problem. But you are helping me if you help me out with the problem.
Amen.
Too often people come to church and they know that their lives are stinking. They know that they have problems and situations. And the first thing they come in and people begin to talk about the problem and the situation. I don't need you to talk about my problem or my situation. I know that part. Can you please tell me something about how to get out of this problem? Can you tell me what the solution to this problem is? What is the remedy? Amen. You see me in sickness, don't tell me I'm sick. Tell me how to be healed. Amen. Tell me how to be delivered. Amen. So the centurion here says simply these words, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. Listen what he says here. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. Listen to this. And this right here is what I saw, and it blessed me. It says, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who follow, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. So what is going on here then is not the fact that he's speaking it, but he's demonstrating a characteristic that is important. If you're going to walk according to the assignment, the authority that God has given you, you can't talk with a mamby-pamby mouth. Amen? You can't be grumbling and all milly-mouth talking about, get away from me, devil. He ain't listening to you. Amen? He's going to be looking at you like, you really don't believe that I have to go anywhere, or else you wouldn't be talking to me like you scared to talk to me. Amen? Huh? How many times have people dealt with the enemy, and instead of dealing with them in confidence in the authority you have, that is your faith. Amen? You talk to him like, ooh, they got a devil and run the other way. How many people are still bound because you with your authority, understanding that in the name of Jesus, you can cast out devils, you ran the other way.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that you're going to do with the authority that Jesus has given you in the earth?
Mm.
Can the real Christian stand up and demonstrate the power of the kingdom of God? Or are you still trying to find the easy way around it? Mm-hmm. Lord, help us today. Mm-hmm. Notice when Jesus spoke, he didn't address what the centurion said in the 8th verse. He did not talk about him being worthy. He did not talk about him, his shortcomings, or the fact that he's not a Jew. He talked about the fact that this man who should not have even the, who had the audacity to ask, had the faith to back up the request. Do you have the faith to back up your request before God? Lord, Lord, Lord. That right there would preach all by itself. Let me say it again. Do you have the faith to back up your request before God? In other words, stop asking God for things that you don't have faith to see through. Lord, I'm asking you to do this. I'm asking you in the name of Jesus. I'm asking you. Ooh, I just hope to stop. Your faith went from surety to question. Ooh, I wish somebody, your faith went to a hopeful thought. See, when you know it, you know it. When you have it, you have it. Amen. Mm-hmm. Let me go back to my days of policing. I didn't say, I hope you under arrest. Put your hands behind your back. I hope you put your hands behind your back. Ooh, I wish you don't fight me. Because you under arrest, and I wish you just go ahead and let me arrest you. You know, that's a beat up officer right there. That's a statistic of someone who beat down a police officer. Amen? Why? Because they had the authority for the arrest but did not understand that they had the ability or the confidence to effect the arrest. Amen? And just like criminals today, huh? When they find out that the police is coming, they're over the fences, over the river, and through the woods to grandmother's house they go. Amen? They running. And you got to have a running you to run and not only run, but overtake and still affect the arrest. Amen? We're talking spiritually now. You're decreeing, declaring things in the spirit. You're decreeing and declaring them in the heavenlies. But do you have the faith to back up the decree and the declaration? So we're talking about knowing your authority and faith. When your faith is lacking, your authority suffers. Because your authority is not based on what you've done. It's based on what he's done. And when I say he's done, I'm talking about what Jesus has done. Jesus said, all authority is given to me in heaven and on the earth and under the earth. Amen. And when he gave that authority, delegated it to us in my name, Jesus said, then when we use the name of Jesus, it affects all authority in the heavens and in the earth and under the earth. Amen. All creation was made by him, through him, for him. Amen. And what was that creation made by? It was made by the word. Amen. That word is what sustains everything. And as we look at that word is those declarations. Everything that Jesus said is decreed and declared, and it stands today. Amen?
Amen.
So here is the centurion. He begins to speak and say, Lord, I'm not worthy. But Jesus doesn't even address that. Mm-mm. He begins to talk about, assuredly I say to you in the 10th verse, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Let's read on just a little bit. 11 verse, and I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham.
Yes,
look,
yes.
Let me say this. Some of you are working to make it. Y'all trying, ooh, I'm trying to make it. Ooh, I'm trying to make it. Forget making it. You need to be worried about completing your assignment. When you got saved, you made it. But along with that comes an assignment. There is a purpose for your salvation. God redeemed you for a reason. Amen? So when they say, I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. They made it. Hmm? But look what he said. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. Who are these that's going to be cast out? These who did not operate or walk in the authority given them. Amen. Who did not demonstrate the kingdom of God, did not demonstrate the power of the kingdom of God. These are the people who decreed, declare, and then ran. You understand? Huh? Look at how Jesus puts a period on the end of this. Amen. I want you to see this because it blessed me when I saw it. It says, then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way. Mm-hmm. As you have believed, so let it be done for you. Okay? Now, why don't we see miracles, signs, and wonders anymore? There is really no deficiency in miracles, signs, and wonders. There's a deficiency in faith. Those who should believe don't believe. So we are like the centurions coming to Jesus, knowing that he can, but we don't have the faith to believe that he will. So when Jesus says, I'm going to do it, we're like, okay. And then we don't believe to its fruition. Mm-hmm. I like this 13th verse for this one reason. The servant being healed was not predicated upon what Jesus did. The servant being healed was predicated upon what the centurion did. You see that? So when you know who you are and know your faith, amen, know your authority in faith, then you can exercise that same authority. Amen? Amen. Amen. So let's see this. Let's put this into action. Amen. We've seen this here. Where else have we seen this? Well, let's take Matthew to the 10th chapter, amen. Matthew 10th chapter, first verse, amen. And we see this also a couple of other places, amen. Mark the 6th chapter, 7th verse, Luke 9:1. We might look over in Luke because we're going to go there as well, 10th chapter we need to go into. But let's look at this right here. It says 10:1, it says, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out. Okay, what is the primary thing that God has given us to do in the earth? We don't hear of anybody casting demons out anymore. You know why? Because we have counseling sessions and all kind of support groups for things that would normally would have been cast out because they were not godly. We now sit down and try to find ways to cope and to deal with. Amen. Yeah, reason. Thank you, dear. With the enemy. Listen, there is no reasoning with the devil. Amen. Going back to those days of policing, I didn't sit there and reason with somebody that was going to be placed under arrest. If you're under arrest, you're under arrest. The reasoning comes, and let me show you how reasoning works with the police department. Amen. You barricade yourself in and say, I ain't coming out until. And what they do is they assemble a directed patrol or a SWAT team or some type of a specialized team, and they come and reason with you. Of course, you don't like their type of reasoning because when they come in, apparently you will lose this argument. Amen? There's no question. At the point that diplomacy has fallen and broken down, the resolve of them to resolve this issue, or their determination and tenacity to resolve the issue is assured. Amen. They're coming in one way or the other. Huh? So you're gonna look, and they shooting it through the window, they're knocking down the door, they're coming through the roof. Somehow or another, this whole thing is taken care of. Amen. Now, let's take this back to spiritual. We can't allow ourselves to keep patty caking with the devil while he's biding time. Meanwhile, he's victimizing those he's holding hostage. God gave you authority to cast the devil out. Stop talking to him and start commanding him to move. Amen? Look, when he gave them power, that word power right there, amen, you have to understand that this word power is exousia, amen? It is the authority. That means that you sitting over there trying to scream, holler, jump up and down, create an explosion. This ain't dunamis, amen? This is exousia. Exousia in the Greek means simply authority. It is the word that we use, amen, huh, to make something greater than ourselves respond to ourselves. I said it before, and I'm going back to this policing. On the expressway, I could stand up and put my hand up, and traffic will come to a halt. Amen? Now, what is interesting about that is I can't physically stop not one of those vehicles from running me over. If it goes around me, I can't grab it by the bumper and throw it back in line. I don't have the power, dunamis, to do that. But I do have the exousia, the authority to do that. Now, why haven't you been successful in spiritual warfare? Because you're trying to beat the devil up. You don't beat the devil up. You command him. Amen? Your authority is given over him. You understand? Your power is authority over unclean spirits. You see that? So stop fighting the wrong way, and you'll start seeing success. Amen? Let's drop down from here. Well, let's finish. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out. So again, this is not a talking. This is not a counseling session. This is a casting out. Amen? Huh? And to heal all kinds of sickness. I said it before, sickness is in the mind. Amen? And all kinds of diseases. Diseases in your physical body. Amen? Now, we have authority or power over these things. Amen. So then when he gave them that, he didn't just give it to them so they could put it in their pocket and walk around. Amen. Mm-hmm. He gave them authority so that they could go out and use it. Amen. Now look what he tells them. These 12, fifth verse. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles. Do not enter in the city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Sometimes I found that it's not so much the preaching of sinners out in the street that we need to really be preaching to. We got more disgruntled, disenfranchised saints that need to be preached to or back into the kingdom of God. They've heard people, shysters, if you will, come out and preach money out their pocket because it sounded good. Use some parcel scripture, finding something. I read a book on this. I read a book on that. Ooh, yeah. I got this on the website. Somebody told me about this right here. I looked into it. It seemed like everybody doing it. I'm trying to get mine because, you know, that's how we do it out here. You got to get all you can. Can't all you. The devil is a liar. Huh? Look what he tells them. He says, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Mm-hmm. Now look what it says here, because this is going to mess some people up. Your mental state when it comes down to ministry and what needs to happen is going to be shaken here. because you went out and bought Mercedes and all kind of other cars and stuff. You wear the biggest chain, the thickest ring. You walking around with all kind of robes and chemises and rochets. And listen, I have my vestments, amen, but I wear them when it's needed, not because I want people to see I got them. You got a set for Monday, a set for Tuesday, a set for the weekend. You got a set for official. Listen, you got a set for Sunday. People can't come around you. You look like the Pope, the apostolic Bishop Pope walking around in your pulpit, and you got five people. You need to sit down somewhere, take off all of that stuff, and stop trying to make a travesty and everything out of the gospel. This is not what it is. Amen? Huh? Look what he says. Heal the sick. You afraid for people to touch you. Somebody sick come around you. Your armor bearer is shooing them off to the side. Talk about it. You can't touch it. Don't touch the anointed. Don't touch the anointed. Well, listen, what would the woman who came and touched the hem of Jesus' garment, what would she have done? What type of testimony would we have today if those armor bearers were standing around Jesus?
We got this twisted.
Yes. Heal the sick. That means you have to have faith in your ability to heal the sick. Amen? Ooh, the doctor said this. Ooh, that's bad. People who know me know that I have oil with me. We'll anoint according to James, the 5th chapter, and we're going to decree and declare some things. You're going to get up. Amen. Huh? You ain't going to sit there around me and talk about, listen, I'll go right back to that scripture, 13 verse. Jesus said to him, to the centurion, go your way as you have believed. Oh, he prayed for me. Ain't nothing happened because she was skeptical that it could happen. Don't be putting that on me. My faith was there that you were healed, but your faith weren't there that you were healed. So there was no touching and agreeing, because even though we touched my hand on your forehead, we didn't agree. Amen. So it can't occur. Amen. So did the fault happen here, or did we not believe? Amen. See, that's the part that we don't want to take into account. We want to point at people and say what they ain't doing and why it ain't happened. But you have to be realistic. If you don't believe in God, I can pray for you until I don't have no more breath. And nothing can happen for you. Because without faith, everything is null and void. Amen? Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. That means you're going to have to touch some folk that don't nobody else want to touch. And to that end, let me say this right here. Some of you are so special that you don't want nobody around you. Ooh, they get around me. Okay, listen. If you got lepers around you, cleanse them.
Yeah.
Well, they just got so much baggage. All that dead skin. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
All that dead skin is going to cause some problems. Amen?
Amen.
And even with that dead skin, you still have to deal with the fact, amen, that with all that dead skin, once you cleanse them, they'll be as a baby. Amen, skin. Mm-hmm. You see that? When they looked, they thought, oh, their skin must be stored just like a newborn baby. Amen? Babe in Christ came to you messed up. Instead of you dealing with the fact that they needed you, you talked about it. Now here they are, tore up. And they left your ministry and went someplace else. And when they got over there, all they could talk about is the fact that you talked about how leprous they were, but never really addressed the fact that they needed cleansing. Thank God for spiritual fathers and mothers who would take the time and pull you aside and get the water out, get the balm, and get the salve out, and begin to anoint you and begin to heal you up, amen. What does he say here? It is our responsibility. Stop telling me that you're an apostle. Stop telling me that you're a prophet, evangelist, a pastor, a teacher, and you don't want to be around anybody who needs work, amen. He equipped you so that you could develop them, so that you could help them mature, so that you could get them to the place where they can be used by God. If you're not going to do the job, drop the title. Get out the way. Amen. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Ooh, That's a hard one, because you can try to fake everything else, but when they ain't breathing, they ain't breathing. Amen? And let me tell you this. When you begin to deal with raising the dead, notice the Bible says in Galatians, amen, it says, if any man be overtaken in the fault, if one of you be overtaken in the fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Right. That means if you're going to raise the dead, you have to start with those who are spiritually dead.
There you go.
Huh? Those who have been assassinated. Those who have fallen into places where they self-inflicted injury upon themselves. Go in and help raise them, amen. Because left there, they'll bleed out and die, amen. How many people have been left by the roadside with your mouth talking about what they did instead of you standing in and stepping up and doing what a true Christian should do, and that is restore such a one? We have not been given the right or the authority to kill. You see that? We have not been given the right or the authority to leave him for dead. Help us, Jesus. He says right here, raise the dead. Now, he said it before, he's saying it again. Cast out demons. Stop patty-caking with them. Stop identifying with them. Stop trying to befriend them and celebrate diversity. A devil is a devil. Sin is sin. And this is crazy if you don't deal with it as a true man or woman of God. This ain't homophobic. This is scripturally correct. Amen. I don't care how you try to spin and twist it. You got to be careful that the world has turned around and tried to spin and twist everything in Christianity to the point where nothing is sin anymore.
Yeah.
Nothing is, and it's an abomination anymore.
Yeah.
Are y'all just being judgmental or hateful? No, we're not. If you got a issue or whatever, apparently heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons.
Our issues.
That means that however you come to me, my job is to deal with you. Amen. I wish I had a church full of folk right now. I just tell them, deal with it. Look at your neighbor and say, deal with it. Your job is to deal with it and stop trying to push them away and don't answer the phone and move them over here. And I don't want nobody to think, you know, where they sort of messy right now. Listen, you was messy, huh? You had some issues. You had some stuff going on with you. Thank God somebody didn't push you away. Amen? Amen. Listen to this. This is the part that's going to mess y'all up. Freely you have received, freely give. Oh, wow. You mean that contract that I sent where I get half before I show up and I fly business first class? And I have the 5-star hotel and the limousine and, you know, I have the spending, all of that for you to come and preach the gospel. All of that's your flesh on parade. Oh, wait. Ooh, wow. Well, if you don't give them perimeters, they don't know how to treat you. Wait a minute. You don't know how you're supposed to be treated because you stopped reading the Bible a long time ago. You read it for cliches. You read it for quick little things you can throw out, amen, so people can see you as holy one way or the other, amen. Woo, they show it's deep. Yeah, you so deep that you won't fell out of heaven back to earth, amen, huh? Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money bills, nor bags for your journey, nor 2 tunics, nor sandals, nor staff. For a worker is worthy of his food. In other words, when you get there, be satisfied with what they are able to give you. You heard my wife say earlier, if you want us to come and minister, amen, contact us, amen. God has given us the ability to go out and minister the gospel. And we understand that there are expenses and things like that. But I never want that to be a reason why you didn't have work come to you. Amen. The people talking about, woo, I wish we could get somebody for their expenses. Amen. Talking about, you know, if we had them come in, they're going to cost X, Y, Z. Listen, we need to talk. If you need someone to come and minister and you worried about the budget, you need to talk to those who are really called to this, and not those who are trying to show people that they called to this. You understand? Huh? Because when we go, we know that God will provide. Mm-hmm. We've gone places and they have promised us one thing. We came in, they didn't deliver it, told us they're going to get us in a week or two, and we start driving back talking about, Lord, this was our gas money to get back. How are we going to do this? And we start driving, and along the way, the Lord calls somebody to walk up and shake our hand or write a check and give us what it is that we didn't get from the place. Mm-hmm. It's happened on more than one occasion. I'm not afraid to travel on faith. Amen?
Yeah.
Because I know if I'm traveling on faith, whoever received the word, amen, that word is going to go in as a seed, but it's going to explode in them, and it's going to cause harvest. Amen? So all of this here is a responsibility for us. The centurion knew that he's talking to Jesus. He was speaking to one who knew authority, one under authority. Those words, for I am a man under authority. For I am a man under authority, said that I recognize that you're not doing none of this on your own. Mm-hmm. But you're doing this under authority of God. And I understand authority, even though my life is raggedy, I understand it. Please do for me. Jesus said this faith. So as we begin to deal with faith, amen, we have to understand what the faith is, amen. Because if you keep hearing people talk about, ooh, the power of God and what I did, power of God and what I did, then you'll miss all of this. Mm-hmm. People who love to talk about themselves and boost themselves up very rarely take time to pray and ask God for which direction to go. My wife can tell you that there's many times when we have set messages together because I believe in making sure that you're prepared. Amen. And we get into it, the Holy Spirit turned the whole thing sideways. But after we get done ministering, amen, the word that he gives me, and I begin to preach out that word that he's given, amen, we find out that that word touched the people. Amen. And the reality is that the word is alive. It is vibrant, it's breathing. It moves, amen, as it needs to. And when you understand that, then you'll start taking a different stance as it relates to the word. No more will you be sitting around talking about, well, you know, I don't know. The Bible said this. Yeah. We're going to try. No, you say, the Bible said, I believe it. It is so. And you begin to walk that thing out. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
As he went, his servant was healed. His faith preceded his going. Do you have a faith, amen, for what you're decreeing and declaring?
Mm.
Do you really believe God? Let me go to another scripture. Luke 9:2. Amen. Luke 9:1. It is the parallel passage to this. Amen. It says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. Amen. Mm-hmm. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. You see that? Simplified. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, neither staff nor bags nor bread nor money. Do not have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there. From there, depart. And whoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them. Amen. Notice he didn't tell them to curse them to death. Amen. They didn't receive it. That's the testimony. Leave it at that. Amen. Who knows? Maybe God will send a Jonah to your Nineveh. Amen. And they'll still get saved. Amen. The Bible says, 6th verse, so they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Amen. And that means that they didn't just receive the assignment. They actually got busy with the assignment. Amen. You see that? The 10th verse there says, and the apostles, when they had returned, told all that they had done. In other words, you're not given an assignment, carte blanche. Amen. You have to be responsible to somebody. Amen. Somebody. Amen. Because we got people out here running, don't want nobody to tell me nothing. I know I'm called. Okay, who are you submitted to? Who's your covering? Because Jesus sent them. And when they came back, they reported back to Jesus. Well, I report back to Jesus too. You're missing it. He set apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers in place. We are gifts to the body for accountability in the body. Amen. If you're not submitted to anybody because you're so holy and ain't nobody right, you're the first one in that line. Amen. Get up under somebody and get trained and submit to somebody so God can talk to you. That way you don't start preaching the gospel that sounds good in your ears because you've been listening and hearing the voice of the enemy who's been telling you just like Eve, hath not God said? Well, he ain't really say that. What he really meant was, okay, listen, get up under somebody and sit down, or how they say nowadays, sat down. Amen. Let, you know, get trained. Let somebody train you. Amen. And when the apostles had returned, they told all that they had done. Amen. And Jesus then took them aside and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethesda. And when the multitudes knew it, they followed him. And he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God. You'll see the same thing again. Amen. As we pick this up on the next one. Amen. And we're going to start at Luke the 10th chapter. Amen. Because in Luke the 10th chapter, we see something that was wonderful. Amen. And that is that Jesus does the same thing again.
Mm-hmm.
But this time he does with 70 others. Amen. Some translations say 72. So we know it was 70 plus, amen, that he sent out. And again, they went out. And again, they came back testifying. But we're going to pick that up later, amen? Amen. Listen, maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ in the pardon of your sins. Maybe you've been living a sinful life. You want to make a change. You say, but I don't know how to do all of this. Listen, it's not hard, amen? Instead of trying to be saved and perfect overnight, how about you just work on getting saved now? And the Holy Spirit will deal with the perfecting part of this. Amen. That means that you can, over your lifetime, amen, you can work on your soul salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. As it is said. Amen. So that means if you want to be saved, pray this prayer. Say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in your precious blood. Thank you, Father, for salvation sent through your son, Jesus. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, I pray that you send them to a Bible-believing, a Bible-teaching church where they can be matured and developed and go on to do the work that you've called them to do. Now, I pray for those who are under the sound of my voice who may be sick, those who need miracle signs and wonders, their bills and other things that are there, the doctors giving them a report, the children are going through different things, they're incarcerated and the like. Lord, I pray for them now, Lord.
Yes.
Pray that you get the glory out of every situation. But I pray, Lord, the resolution to every problem now in the name of Jesus. Touch the bodies of those who are sick. Lord, touch the mind so that they will believe. Strengthen their faith in the name of Jesus. We believe right now for the release of resources, even in our ministries, Lord, that miracle signs and wonders will manifest In the name of Jesus, we pray. And we thank you for it in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you learn more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us. We're working on the website to refine it and to make it more user-friendly, but it still works as it is right now. We want you to become a vision partner with us. Help us to do the work that God has given us around the world. It takes finance and it takes love. And we have love, we need finance. Help us out with that in the name of Jesus. Now, I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
Prophet McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, reminding you that it's God's will for you to live the kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.